All right, greetings everyone. I'd like to welcome everybody that's listening in, that's online, and everyone that will catch this fellowship teaching later on. We'll be posting it at don'tperish.com under the fellowship teaching audios to edify others as well. So thanks for listening in. Get a pencil, piece of paper, and write down the scriptures that I'm going to share with you today about this topic, and go to God's Word and test me. Rightly divide the Word of God. Today we're going to talk about biblical headship. Now, I've wanted to do an audio on this topic for a while. It's an important core of the Christian faith when it comes to obedience, the headship order that God's ordained. It really is all about modeling the order of God's creation. Interesting enough, we're doing this topic, and the word headship doesn't really even appear in the King James Bible, but we do see it all over Scripture, the appearance of it, the modeling of it, examples of it, and so we're going to talk about it. Now, the word headship just simply means one in authority or an influence over another. Now, obviously, there's secular headship. That would be like governments to citizens or employees to their bosses or supervisors on a job. And then, of course, we're going to focus on spiritual headship, as in God's body through Christ. And so, different types of headship. And it's a person that is an influence or an authority over another person. In this case, we're going to focus on God's authority. All of us, as believers or citizens or children, all have headship over us. Let's talk about some of them. God was over Christ as he did his earthly ministry, right? Christ is over man. Man is over woman and wife. Parents are over young children. Bosses are over servants and workers. Rulers and governments are over citizens. So all of us have headship. It's not like any of us don't have it. We do. Ultimately, we're all under God. So it's a very important topic for us to get right. We know that God, whom we serve, is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So this headship order helps keep things from becoming confusing, chaotic, out of order. And we know God does not want that. So it's proper for us to understand this and get it right. Now, as I do ministry, we see sin and feminism, I'll talk a little more about that later, has caused so much confusion over headship in marriages, families, in the so-called body of Christ, and in the culture. We see it all over the place in the culture as well. So sin, feminization can wreak havoc on the headship order of God. So again, as I said, there's not a lot of verses. There are no verses that mention headship directly, but they all, many that model it. And we're going to look at some of the key aspects in Scripture, not all of them, but just some of them, of modeling this headship in Scripture. Let's take a look at Genesis 2, where it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmate." That's verse 18. So we see the headship starts instantly with creation of mankind in the garden. And verse 24 of chapter 2 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So we see headship order here. Eve is formed to be a helper to Adam. And we know that the husband is her headship. Genesis 2:16 says, "The husband will rule over the wife." And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get on to some other verses here. So we see right in the garden the matter of headship that God ordained taking over. Next, we see God dealing with an obedient servant called Noah, and he commands Noah to build an ark because God's going to judge the world. And we see Noah's family following him, wife, sons, daughter-in-laws, in obedience. Genesis 7, 5 through 7. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So Noah, we know, was a righteous man walking with the Lord. He was headship over his home, just as God designed it. And they were obeying their headship because Noah was a godly man. Moving on, in the Old Testament, we see God ordains the Ten Commandments that he gives to the nation of Israel. And what does one of the commandments say? Exodus 20, verse 12. And it says, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So here we have headship of parents over children that God ordains, and that's echoed in the New Testament as well. So all through the Old Testament, we see godly fathers, husbands, as rulers and leaders of their homes, with wives and children submitting to their biblical authority. All right, so this is true saints following after the ways of God, husbands and fathers leading, being headship, and wives and children submitting to their biblical authority. All right, I need to make a note here. We're going to talk about this a little bit more, but when we have headship order lines, God, when I mean that is when we have the order by which God has headship, you know, the ordered line that he has ordained, God is always our ultimate head. So we always live and strive to obey him first and most. And then all the other headship lines, father, husband, government authority, your job, they fall under obeying God first. Does that make sense? We always are looking to please God first and everyone else second. No one comes in between us and obeying God is the point I'm trying to make here. A good example of this would be Daniel, off in a pagan land. They pass a law that you can't pray to your God. And Daniel goes against it and continues to do his prayer. So he was defying his headship, the government that he was under, to honor God. So that was my point there. Always looking to honor God. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in this teaching when headship has to be broken. So now we move on to the New Testament, and really nothing much changes here. Although we have Christ coming in the flesh, obviously we are under his headship. But we don't see anything change in the headship order that God's ordained. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So here we can see the headship order clearly laid out for us, even though it doesn't use the word headship. And we see that's the order: God, Christ, man, woman. And this is what honors God. And this is talking about biblical, holy, godly people. I want to make that clear, that are obeying the scriptures. That's where spiritual headship works. It doesn't work when you don't have people that are biblical, godly, and obeying. So let's look at some more examples of scripture in the New Testament. How about headship over wives? Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Yeah, that's a pretty powerful verse right there. And it goes on to tell us that husbands are to love their wives like Christ loved the body, right? Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the body and is the Savior of the body. So it's echoing what we saw in the Old Testament, the headship order, husband over the wife. 1 Corinthians 14, 34, 35. It says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it's not permitted for them to speak. The bodies, I don't like the word church, in the bodies, the ecclesia. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shame for the woman to speak in the body. So see that headship order? The woman's not to be interrupting, and when the men are teaching the word, she's to go to her head, her husband, and ask him, and he gets the answer, gives her the answer, or gets it from others, his elders, or goes to the scriptures and studies it. And so there we see the order being kept. How about headship over women in general? 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 14. But let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So Paul makes the reminder there that the woman fell. Yep, Adam was guilty too, but she was deceived and then took it to Adam. And so we see the headship order there. Women are to learn in silence, not to be teaching men. Also, let's look at Titus 2. Verses 3 through 5, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be not blasphemed." So there we see God's headship order for the aged women, be teaching the younger women how to be godly, Titus 2, keepers at home. How about the echoing of the headship order for small children, young children in the home? Colossians 3:20. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Again, the reference here is godly, biblical parents. We'll get more to that, but keep that in mind. We don't just obey people for the sake of obeying. We obey in God's headship order. God, Christ, man, parents, pastors, elders, they must be biblical in order to obey them and honor God. Amen. How about headship over servants? So servants in the Bible, yeah, they had slaves back then. A servant could be a willing servant in a home. Sometimes there was slaves that were forced into working. But Titus 2:9 says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters." A master could be a boss like today, or it could have been a literal slave master in those days. A person that's willingly working for someone would be called a bond slave. Then someone who's chained and forced to would be a literal slave. But anyway, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again." So servants have this headship over them. How about headship in the leaders of the body of Christ? Hebrews 13:17. "Obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So this is an elder, teacher, someone that's looking over the body, and we are to submit ourselves to them, of course, if they're biblical and teaching sound doctrine. We don't follow false teachers. The scriptures are clear. We'll get to that. Another verse for elders or leaders. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. "The elders which are among you, I exhort you, who I am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." We'll talk a little bit about lording over at the end of this teaching. That's a pretty important point there. And 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 7 also talks about bishops, leaders. It says, "A bishop, elder bishop, same thing, must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not a striker, not greedy of filthy lucre," that's money, "be patient, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity." That's children obeying your parents, right? Speaking of small children, not adult children. "For if a man know not how to rule his house well, how shall he take care of the body of God? not a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride, he falls into temptation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, people in the world, lest he shall fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So there's a bunch of verses about headship in the body. God does have an order. If you have a body and you have men that are qualified to be elders, leaders, teachers, we're to put ourselves under them, and they are our headship if they are biblical servants of God. How about headship in the government? There's another one that we all have to face. It's not spiritual, but in a way it's spiritual because God ordained government. We're to obey the government. This is what Peter says, 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. There you go. We're doing this unto God. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So God ordained government. Romans tells us that. So it's godly that we honor government when government is honoring God's word and ways. When the government tells us to do things that are sinful, we must rebel against the government, not physically, but we must just tell them we will not do those things, like Daniel did not obey that edict to not pray. Again, keeping God as our main head, always obeying him first, everyone else, government, pastor, boss, father, husband, under that if they are biblical. Finally, let's read a verse about Christ as our headship, the ultimate headship, right? Christ and God. Colossians 1, 16 through 19. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So ultimately, Christ is our head. That's who we obey. That's who we strive to please. By reading these scripture verses and just clearly, rightly dividing them, we see that God has a desire for order and headship in his body that he bought with Christ's blood. So he purchased us. So it's proper and God-honoring that we operate under biblical headship, not compromised headship. It honors God, it gives us guidance, and it places an order over all things, which, look at the universe, God has an order. If not, we would spin out of control in the universe, we would not have oxygen, we would not have all the things we need to survive on this planet. So God has an order, and headship properly displays that for his glory. If we have a heart to obey his word, it's easy to see that. Now, here's where it gets a little complicated. Headship is not complicated until sin gets involved, rebellion, and false doctrine. And then headship needs to be broken. And it's biblical to do that, as remember, we honor God first. Brother Peter sets the stage for us. Acts 5:29. Let me give you the context. Peter is going into where the Jews are preaching Jesus, and the religious leaders tell him, stop preaching Jesus. They were getting beaten and persecuted, and Peter says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Pretty simple verse. The rulers that he's supposed to obey in every other way said, stop preaching Jesus. Peter said, we're going to obey God, not men. And they kept preaching Jesus. So we have an example that we don't obey leaders, bosses, husbands, fathers when they go against God's word. It's very clear in scriptures, right? So some other examples of times when biblical headship needs to be broken. I need to give you some examples here to kind of give some clarity to it. We're obeying God first and the most. All right. So these are all experiences that I've had in ministry or personally. There could be others, but I think these are the main ones. So an example would be a husband who's the head of the home and head of the wife, but he goes into sin, or he teaches false doctrine, or he asks her to sin. He then voids his biblical headship over her on spiritual matters, and she is to obey the word of God over him. Now, she should obey her husband in all other things that aren't spiritual. Yep. Doesn't mean she totally disregards his headship, but when it comes to his spiritual biblical headship, if he's in sin, asking her to sin, teaching false ways, she can disregard that to what? Honor God first and most. That's the pattern that we see in Scripture. How about an elder, like in a body, house body, or one of these denominational churchianities? He's caught in sin and false doctrine. Those under him who are told to honor him, right, in the proper headship, they are not required to obey him in that. Actually, the Bible says bring witnesses about the sin, and he's supposed to be dealt with and rebuked, corrected, probably put out, Matthew 18, if he's keeping sin. So we don't obey an elder teacher if he's teaching false doctrine or he falls into sin. How about when the government passes laws that defies God's law? Let's look at one, abortion. We're not to obey such laws. We're not to honor those laws. We can defy those laws. We can reject their headship in those areas that don't fully honor God's word. How about a worker? This has happened to me. A worker is asked to do things that are unethical or sin on his job. They are not to honor the headship of their boss then. They are to reject that and say, I will not obey that. I'll obey you in everything else that is not biblical or a biblical matter. But when it comes to things that are biblical, that God has ordained for me not to do, honesty, purity, truth, fairness, not cheating on the job. I used to be in sales. I know all about cheating. They used to ask us to cheat a lot. And I got into a lot of trouble because I said, I'm not cheating. And it's one of the reasons I'm not a salesman today, praise God, is that my boss and people in that profession, but it's not just in sales. When I worked in an office, it was the same way. A lot of things went on that were not ethical, let's just say. So we don't honor a boss or our company when they go against things of God's word. How about this one? If an older child that has a father who is in sin, false doctrine, they can defy his headship, biblically, his spiritual headship, to fully obey God. All right? Think about that. And I'm talking about older children here, past teenage years, their marrying age. They still may live at home. That's fine. Not a problem. But if the father goes and starts teaching false ways, or they learn what they've been taught over the years, Calvinism, paganism, Easter, Christmas, feminism, whatever, and they can rebel against those false doctrines, and if the father is promoting them, practicing them, propping them up, they can rebel against that area. And again, honor him in everything else. That's his home. He's the head of the home, but he's not the head of an older child who is seeking the truth of God as he keeps false doctrine and sin. So those are just some examples. There's more you could come up with, but some keys to understanding this defying headship, because I know a lot of people are going to rebel against this. I just was discipling with a man not long ago. He had the issue with his parents being rebellious so-called Christians, and he did not understand. He perfectly understood that you rebel against any other Christian that was rebellious, and you separate from them. He had a hard time understanding that he would have to separate from his parents. He was practicing partiality because of his parents. And we're going to see God does not teach us or does not promote partiality in any way. So let's look at some keys to understand how we can defy headship, and it's biblical and it's God-honoring. Number one, we always love and obey God over any other human. Matthew 22 is to love God with all that we are. 1 John 5:3 says, this is the love of God, we keep his commandments. So keep that in mind. You always obey God above a boss, above a government, above a husband, above a father, you always obey God first. He is your ultimate head. Number two, God is not partial to any human. Go read 1 Timothy 5. God does not practice partiality. He hates partiality. Think of the story of the people that come in dressed really nice and they get the front seat, and the people that look like homeless people, they put them way in the back. God is not partial to any human, not a boss, not an elder, not a parent, not a husband, if they're in sin and false ways. Partiality will get you in all kinds of trouble in the truth of God. Number three, even though it's one of the Ten Commandments to honor your parents, Jesus, our Lord, Master, Creator, Savior, said he came to divide parents from children. Let's read this one. Matthew 10, verse 34 through 36, Jesus said, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Let's stop right there. You know, most people read this and they just ignore it, skip over it. Jesus did not come to bring just peace, all right? He's the Prince of Peace. He came to bring a sword. What's he doing? Separating out his holy people. When you bring a sword and you divide, you separate. That's to be holy, to be separate for the Lord. Verse 35. "For I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be of his own household." We have really seen that in our life. Our biggest enemies have been from our own family that knew us the longest, that birthed us maybe, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. They can be your worst enemies, parents, siblings. They can be your worst enemy of the faith. So Jesus makes it clear, while we're to honor our mother and father, well, there must be something going on when he comes to divide mothers, daughters, fathers, sons. It's because of sin that I'm talking about. And we honor God first, and we're not partial to our parents. Remember something, your parents, your siblings are just blood relations. They may or may not enter into the kingdom of God when they die. The people that you're going to spend eternity with are the ones born again by the blood of Christ. There's a whole change of allegiance when you come to Christ, and it changes your family. Remember when Jesus said, they said, "Your mother and brothers are at the door, at the gate." And he said, "Who is my mother and my brother?" And those who do the will of my Father. So if you keep in mind who's your real spiritual family, this will help you when it overcoming these things like having to defy headship, all right? So Jesus said he came to divide parents and children. People, I get in trouble for this one a lot with people, but I stand on what God's word says. You are not to follow rebellious husbands, fathers, governments into sin. No, the Bible tells us to walk in holiness and obedience. The next one would be, we're commanded to mark and separate from any husband, parent, teacher that claims Jesus, who keeps and teaches false doctrine and sin. You can go read Romans 16, 17. I preach it all the time. Paul says, mark those who cause divisions by leaving sound doctrine. Mark them and avoid them. That means you don't take teaching from them. You don't eat with them, per se, as part of the body of Christ. You're not united to them in spiritual things. All right, Titus 3, 8 through 10, go read that. Paul talks about warn a heretic once, twice, then reject him. That doesn't mean you're taking teaching from him. You're not taking scripture from him. You're rejecting him. So if we understand these concepts on how to break headship, all right, this will help us to keep God first and his headship order down the line proper and biblical. So an example I want to give of a headship being disrupted would be if a woman beyond her teen years is still living at home under a dad, and she learns either through going deeper in the Word of God, she's always been taught lies, or let's say her father changes something, but and she starts to see sin and false doctrine. Some examples would be pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter, false gospels that don't have repentance and holiness in them, heretical associations, reading and taking quotes from Calvinists and worldly evangelicals, and I mentioned it before, feminization, not teaching women how to dress, how to head cover, men not dressing biblical. There's pride, there's vanity, being too much like the culture, being friends of the world. She is totally in line with Scripture to reject the headship of her father on Bible truth and spiritual matters, all right, based on the fact he's teaching sin and false ways. She honors God first, right? God does not want us following parents or any of these other headship authorities over him. What is that called? That would be called idolatry. If we decide, oh, I'm going to obey my boss just to get along, that's idolatry. You're disobeying God. I'm going to obey my husband. He's telling me to sin, but I don't want to cause any problems. That's idolatry. I'm going to obey my dad just to please him so I can be close to him because he's the ruler of our home. That's putting him above God. We're to honor God first. God hates idolatry. Go read the Old Testament. Israel got itself in constant trouble. God divorced her twice because of her idolatrous whoredom ways. Yeah, I just did a teaching on that. Whoredom can be a physical prostitute, can also be a spiritual whoredom when we go against the things of God. And we keep many false ways. So if she then tells her father, I can't take your teaching, I disagree with you on biblical doctrine, on the gospel, all these things, then she would be without biblical headship, and that's absolutely fine. There's times when people are lone believers in these last days and there's no other true believers around. She would be outside of biblical headship, and she would have the word and the spirit to guide her. She's not cast off as an orphan. She has the word, she has the spirit, until she's either married to a biblical godly husband, he would then become her head, or if she encounters another male teacher, married is best for accountability, as Paul talked about, an elder should be a husband of one wife, who's able to fully biblical teach biblically and is not living in willful sin or false doctrine, then he could act as her head in the Lord. This is how it would work. This gives her the opportunity to then get away from bad association, bad doctrine, right? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says bad company corrupts. Yep, your family, your friends, sinful people in a body are going to corrupt you. You need to remove yourself from those that claim the name of Christ but live sinfully. But this gives her the opportunity to have sound doctrine, to have support from other believers, to get biblical answers on topics, and have the biblical God-honoring headship that God has ordained. If she compromises and just stays under a husband or a false pastor or a false father, then she is sinning against God. She's not doing the proper headship, and no good will come of it. But when we obey God, oftentimes, much good can come from it. Yep, also, persecution can come from it. We know that. 2 Timothy 3:12, all those that live godly will suffer persecution. So it's totally biblical, based upon all these teachings and scriptures I'm giving you, for someone to rebel against any of their headship authority when they go against God's word, when they're in sin, when they're in false doctrine. But I need to make a note here. I always counsel people, especially when we're talking here in either a business setting or in the home, that you break the biblical headship. This is mostly for homes, not for business. You break the biblical headship, like with a father, but you still honor him in everything else. You still honor him. It's still his home. You don't rebel against him in everything. But just in what's biblical and spiritual, you no longer take the teaching from him. You no longer honor him in that way because he's not eligible to be a biblical headship because he's not biblical either any longer or never was. So think about that. It's very, very important that you're honoring God first, and then any other man or entity under that that comes into headship must be in line with the Father. Everything must be in line with the Father's word. All right. So the same line of thought would come with biblical breaking biblical headship with a wife that has a sinful husband. I did mention a worker with a sinful boss. It's not really spiritual, but kind of spiritual because we're supposed to be good workers, right? It tells us to honor our authorities over us. A citizen to a wicked government. We're all dealing with that, with COVID, vaccines, abortion, gay rights. We all have to walk through this minefield of what is biblical and what is not biblical. So these are really important topics to think about because we're all, as these last days get worse and worse and worse, we're all going to be asked to subject ourselves to things, new laws, new ways, new headship that may or may not be biblical. All right. And we're going to have to walk through that. So to know these things, who we honor first and then who falls underneath the headship of God is very, very important. All right. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit. I find that as I do this ministry and meet lots of people and get to counsel lots of people, that when it comes to headship, there's a lot of two or three things going on. A lot of lording over, and there's a lot of pride and arrogance. So let me explain these. Jesus said that no man that wants to be a leader, teacher, he shouldn't lord over. He said to his disciples in Matthew 20, you see how the Gentiles lord over? It shall not be so among you. You want to be great? Be a servant. So just as Peter said, a man that wants to be a teacher, leader, elder, wants to be someone's headship, a husband, whatever, he should be an example. And people should want to follow that example, not by lording over, telling me, you got to follow me, you got to do this, you got to do that. We don't lord over. And in Proverbs 6, we know that God hates pride. It's an abomination to him. So I see a lot of lording over, a lot of pride and arrogance. Let's talk about this. So lording over men, they want to force others to obey them, either by making up rules, using coercion. This is not a good example on how you lead. You lead by being a godly, obedient, holy person, apt to be able to teach, and then people are compelled. Paul says in Titus 1 that you should be able to teach the naysayers, right, so that you can draw them in. So we stand on firm doctrine. Doesn't mean you're not bold. Doesn't mean you don't have to rebuke and exhort and correct. And yep, we have to do all those things. 1 Timothy 5 says publicly rebuke those in sin, right? We have to do those at times. But we lead by example. And so then lording over is not ever an issue with biblical headship. And the pride and the arrogance I was talking about, that comes in a lot. And I've seen this so many times. Pastors, husbands, or dads, they just assume, no matter what they do, how they live, what they teach, that they just get to be biblical heads over people because of the title they have, pastor, husband, or dad or father. And this is not the case in God's word, as I've been showing you. And you will lose that role if you choose sin, heresy, false doctrine, that's heresy, and you lose that role. So this is not something that's just given to you, all right? It is given to you if you get married and you're a husband. Yep, you have this headship. But then it's something you have to maintain, just like our covenant with God, just like a marriage covenant. We have to walk in it. So there's a lot of pride and arrogance. And when men lose headship, a lot of times they can't believe that they lost headship when they've taken it so lightly. They didn't teach properly. They weren't living godly and holy. They weren't going deep in the scriptures. They weren't being a shepherd looking after the soul of this person. They were taking it all for granted, thinking, well, I'm just a headship automatically. That's not how it works. God hates false teaching. And God will not allow those people to be over his body again, bought with his son's blood, a peculiar holy people. So I just wanted to put those notes in there. I also want to talk about quickly feminization, wives leading homes or churches, churchianity, bodies, house bodies, whatever. It's one of the biggest killers towards biblical headship we've seen, feminization. Pastors, fathers, dads, husbands are expected to have proper order in their homes, and they get their homes totally out of order, not ruling well, not ruling their wives, teaching them how to dress, how to act, how to live, sound doctrine. And then they expect to still have biblical headship. We see many, many households shipwrecked by fathers not being godly, good examples of holiness and sound doctrine, allowing sons and daughters to go off into the world, listen to different authors, teachers, and their faith is shipwrecked. And they wonder why they go off into liberalism and the world and things that are not sound doctrine. They haven't been the example. The father hasn't been the godly example, holding the line, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered, as Jude says. They've kind of let everybody kind of pick and choose and do a lot of their own way, and they end up with a bunch of shipwrecked faith. So feminization is the root of a lot of this. Lukewarm, sluggard dads and husbands are another base problem that we see all over the place, and it gets everyone out of line of God's biblical headship. So this is sinful, sluggard ways. It's hypocritical to expect to be head of something when you're not even a biblical headship example. And God always asks us to do what we ask others to do. Is that not true? Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? Everything they tell you to do, do it, because they were teaching Torah law. But he said, don't do it as they do, because they tell you what to do and they don't even do it themselves. Yeah, that is absolutely hypocrisy that God hates. Go read Matthew 23. So headship order that's biblical, it's a beautiful, God-honoring way. But as if anything in this Christian faith life, it can become a great trial. It can bring great persecution. And we must reject certain men's or certain authority and their headship to first obey God as our headship, or switching to others when we come to know them that are fully biblical. This honors God. This keeps his headship. This keeps us in spirit and truth worship, John 4:24, not in compromise, false fellowship. Sin, all because of partiality. Oh, I like this person. I don't want to cause trouble. No, we must walk in the ways of God, honoring him first, loving him with all of our being, which means keeping his commandments. So I hope you'll take some time in your own life to ponder the biblical headship you are or you're under. Both. We're all either headship or under headship. Do you have a honoring headship that is fully in line with God's word, or are you compromised with a pastor that has false doctrine or sin? No one should put up with that. It needs to be dealt with. Or a husband that is claiming Christ, but he's lukewarm. He's dabbling all kinds of false gospels or false authors or worldliness. No one should have to submit to that, all right, if they're striving after the things of Christ. Or a father who has a corrupt home, feminized home, not leading the home well, not setting boundaries and guidelines, and shipwrecking the faith of his sons and daughters, sending them off into the world to be sinful and compromised. Now, women cannot teach men. We just read those scriptures, it's clear. But what we've seen, and we're seeing currently, the power and the influence that a quiet, obedient, godly woman can have in a home when she stands for all truth and rejects sinful headship versus just going along with partiality, going along with family, siblings, mom, dad, whatever. This is it, really important. I talk about this all the time. She may be the only godly, quiet, but bold. She's standing. She's bold. She's not compromising. She may be the only biblical light to the true gospel that other people will ever see, because she's right around them. There's so few saints out there. When you're being a true saint, the people around you are being affected. That's your ministry. How powerful is that? We're seeing how one person amidst a bunch of people that are compromised, claiming Christ, that are sinful, evangelical false doctrine, lukewarmness, feminization, paganism, whatever you want to bring up, the light that can be shined. You know, the darker it is, the brighter a light shines. It's so true. So we honor the ones that we know that are endeavoring to serve God in all their ways, in uncompromising ways, regarding this headship order over anything that's in their life: government, a job, family, marriage. to keep their headship in line with Christ as number one. I need to remind you, one of my favorite verses, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:9, is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Do not, saints, let anyone back you down from obeying all truth. And that includes when you have headship that is compromised on truth, not keeping truth, teaching lies. Do not let anyone back you down. It is a work of the Spirit for you to be in all truth, John 16. That's what he's come to teach us. And you can be a light, you can encourage others, and sometimes, it's true, we have to defy headship that's unbiblical in order to ever get to what's pleasing to God, to what's honoring to God, and to get maybe back to biblical headship to bring other people to repentance. So we can have an influence as God works through the Holy Spirit to convict them. But I have a question. If we compromise and we don't have a high standard for life, living, for headship, for doctrine, how are we going to influence anybody? We're not. That's why you've got 40,000 denominations and hundreds of thousands of authors and false teachers, because very few people hold the line on truth, and everyone is out there compromised, doing their own way. The Bible talks about that. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. That's in Proverbs. You can look that up. So I want to leave you with this simple but awesome verse, Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh, yep, we're going to have to overcome headship issues, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I love that verse right there. I hope you saints are striving to overcome whatever you're dealing with. We're here to help you. Ponder this headship order. Make sure you're walking in biblical headship. If you have good and godly biblical headship, wow, pray for them, encourage them, care for them as they care for your soul. If you're in compromised headship, pray about how you can be the light to act and change those things. You may have to be a Daniel. Yeah, he got thrown in the lion's den. You know, I don't think that's going to happen to most of you. So anything that happens is going to be less than that. But he trusted God. So I'll ask you, are you trusting God today for everything, whether it's headship, your soul, the truth of God's word? We can trust the Father. He's a good and gracious God. So that's what I have for you today on headship order. I hope that's edified you and blessed you. Go to don'tperish.com. You can find all of the fellowship teachings there. This one will be up there shortly. And then go to the teaching blog, go to the sisters blog. Every day we're trying to edify and pour out, because it tells us in Hebrews 13:3 to edify daily, lest we be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. And we love you all. We don't want you to be caught up in sin or bad headship or compromise. We want you to honor God with your life, because one day soon we're all going to be in glory. So till next time, let me know I can help you in the faith. Thanks for listening. And may God be praised.